of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt, U.S. Open Cup Special Edition. I'm Aaron Lingley, and I'm joined by your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. What's going on, man?
What's up? Bam, bam, bam! U.S. Open Cup! Nothing, just randomly found out that MLSsoccer.com has a super long interview with Brian Schmetzer on how he's trying to bring us back to our success of the past, and talking about such things as the number nine conundrum and other stuff, the Schmetzer way and stuff like that. So, and he acknowledges that everyone can get fired.
Oh, interesting. How long is the interview?
It's a very long, I mean, scrolling down, it's, I mean, those are all different sections, and each one of those has 3 to 4 paragraphs.
It's not a video, it's an article?
Yeah, it's an article, a really long article. We can link it in the show notes.
Or drop it in the Discord, because the Discord will be in the show notes. Because we want you guys to join us in the Discord.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll share it with you here then, and you can put it in the Discord, because I don't have Discord on this computer right now.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad it's... I mean, I do like Brian, but I don't know if I could listen to him talk for like 30 minutes. Sometimes I don't know why.
I think this is probably a very long conversation that they distilled down into... those different sections. But before we talk about anything else, I want to open up a can of Liquid Death sparkling water, who of course had a booth at the U.S. Open Cup match on Wednesday night, because they are trying to replace Coca-Cola as the official water of the Seattle Sounders. And so they had surveys about it there. I'll see if I can still find the survey on my phone, and we'll also include it in the Discord. And tell everyone you want Liquid Death to be there, because if they are, we can probably get them to sponsor the show. If they're the official water of the Seattle Sounders, you know that we can be like, hey guys, come on.
Yeah, we're big. Ooh. Oh, that was so weak.
I think it must cut it out, because it actually sounded really good on my end, and then it does the same for me and you. So, Liquid Death, sure. I love you.
Coca-Cola, the official water of the center. So like Coca-Cola products, like Dasani.
Right. So Dasani is up. Their contract for water is up with the Sounders.
I'm tired. I'm like, that is brown water with sugar in it. Yeah. What are you talking about? All right. I am going to have, I finished it before we decided to record. It's a Friday, by the way. We're recording later than we normally do, but this is a U.S. Open Cup special, so it'll last for about 10 days.
Yeah.
So
and it's been a crazy
beer
week.
I was drinking. Indeed. I'm drinking Black Raven Brewing Trickster IPA. Good old Black Raven. Here we go. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, see, I couldn't hear it. So
really? Okay.
Clearly the noise cancellation is very excellent on Squadcast.
I got some splatter on my laptop. Damn it.
Ooh.
Rookie mistake.
Well, now drink it. Tell me how it is.
Oh, yeah. It's solid.
Right on.
Solid. Not like that butthole candy beer I had a couple episodes ago. This is not from my anus. All right, well, let's get to what people want to talk about. We're doing a U.S. Open Cup special. We could do a little bit of scuttlebutt if you have it. There's nothing really in the Discord. We told no one we were recording.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of week we're having. But we're here. Do you have anything not pertaining to Georgie, Andrew Thomas, penalties, victory, Leo Chubb, as you called him in the Discord?
Leo Chubb. Good old Leo Chubb. Yeah. I think it's relevant to Leo Chubb, but, you know, he was not really trying in warmups, and he clearly didn't, got on the field and was just getting outplayed. And you know, I spoke to some sources inside the club, and, you know, I couldn't get any concrete information, but their opinion was that maybe he's not taking the demotion real well and has kind of given up. And that seems a pretty good takeaway to me, because that's what it looks like to me.
That's what it looked like.
Like, even because we were sitting in the beer garden, even as he's warming up, all the young players are like running really fast and cutting, and he's just kind of jogging along, not really putting any effort into it. And he wouldn't, like, we were like clapping for him, like, yeah, go score a goal. And he like didn't even acknowledge us or anything. It was kind of wild.
That hurts my soul. I mean, I can understand why you would be not happy with the situation. I mean, and I don't think, I think the demotion has been warranted. He hasn't been playing very well.
Yeah.
He had a great goal from Jordan assist a couple weeks ago, a couple of matches ago. I don't even know if it's a couple weeks ago. But that was really it for the season. He's really, for what he is known to do and what he's really here for, is to beat players one-on-one on the wing. And he loses control of the ball often. And he's definitely like regressed, you know, from this time last year. It was like this time last year when he started regressing.
Yeah.
Because he and Jordan had that like just insane start to the season where it looked like that between the two of them, they're going to have 15 goals and 15 assists each, maybe more. But
yeah, but talking to Andy Rose last year specifically about him, Andy said that you could tell that he'd become a new player since he had a child, and he was taking it more seriously, and he no longer was walking around like he deserved to be there, and he felt like he had to earn his spot. And so yeah. It is kind of crazy how much difference a year makes in that regard.
Yeah, and then he didn't just get demoted this week. I mean, he was on the bench for the U.S. Open Cup game.
Yeah.
And not the bench with the other starters watching.
No, which was behind the goal, yeah.
Yeah, he was, and that surprised me. I thought that this would be like, you're starting, you're in AAA right now, right? Like that kind of thing. You're going to get full 90+, but if you want to start on Sunday or get some reasonable minutes on Sunday, you need to show up, and I'm going to give you every opportunity here. He was on the bench and didn't come in until extra time. He was
and very late. In fact, he was the second to last sub, and then they put Baby D-Row on.
Baby D-Row.
Right at the end.
I really wanted him to score that penalty. We'll get to what happened in the match. But, okay, yeah, that's a bummer to hear from your sources, being that he is my son. And
yeah,
I mean, him to do well.
I think we all want him to do well, too. Yeah, I mean, we want him to succeed, but if he's not putting in the effort, I mean, I think part of it is he probably knows, he's probably had conversations, and this is complete conjecture, about what's going to happen when Pedro de la Vega comes back.
Yeah.
And you'd think he would have wanted to take this time to try and earn that spot. But
he's had plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, but he hasn't taken a hold of the reins.
De la Vega's got like 45 total minutes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Totally so. It's a bummer. I don't think we have much other Sounders news to talk about.
Well, I have like, it's not, maybe it's just more of a grind my gears thing, because okay. I just figured this out while I was waiting for the show to start. So when did the Sounders app update? Probably like off season or so.
Yeah.
This new format that they have.
Oh, I mean, the off season they did update it. It was basically the same last year, but they added a lot more stuff this year.
So I'm specifically talking about the schedule page.
Oh, I've
where you have like grid versus list.
Hmm.
Open it up. I know you're Android and I'm Apple, but maybe...
Yeah, and it is different, same. But I only use it for my tickets, so I hadn't looked at it, but Caitlin from the Sounders pointed out to me the other day that there is a members area you can go to that'll tell you who your ticket rep is, and it can actually be a really useful thing. If you go to My Profile and then you go to Alliance Member Hub, it'll list your account number and your ticket rep, and then gives you the access your tickets, all that stuff. But you want me to look at the schedule here,
just
right?
Just go to the schedule. Does it have a grid and a list version?
Yes.
Okay. I'm today years old. That I was like, what the hell? We played, how was it? It looks like it goes from April and it shows Vancouver as the last match. And then
scroll
jumps
left
to May. And I know, I'm today years old.
Oh.
I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, I have to go to the list every single time. I didn't know you could scroll left or right.
Also, for your editing purposes, you might want to move a little closer to your mic or turn it up a tiny bit.
How's this?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Is this nice? Do you like my sweaty balls? SNL
yes.
reference.
I love them.
Actually, it's pretty hot. My balls might be sweaty.
They're salty, salty. What's the salty chocolate balls? We're going back to the South Park days.
Oh no, I don't know that. Oh. I'm talking about the Alec Baldwin sketch from what, 30 years ago. Jesus. Anyway,
I went to something as old as well. Cool. Sounders.
Is South Park 30 years old?
Pretty much. It's not quite.
Like
it's probably 25, 26.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, it was a crazy match, man. It was I didn't want to go, actually. I was not excited to go. I had a solo ticket just for me. I had no one to go with. I did find out some Alliance people, council people were going to be there, so I was like, "All right." And I still wasn't sure, and then it was sunny and I was like, "Okay, I'll go. It's nice out." Got down there, was hoping to record some live interviews from down there, and then I had some SD card issues, so it ended up not being possible, but maybe in the future. I don't think I can attend the next one because it happens to be the same day as Madness is performing at the WAMU Theater, and I have tickets for that. If you'd like to buy a pair of tickets, reach out to us, and we will send you to James Woolard, who is selling a pair because he can't go now that he has announced that game.
To the Madness thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, Madness. Oh. Ska and pop band from the 80s in England.
Oh. That's super a you awesome. And Nick conversation.
Totally. You'd know one of their songs, though, for sure. They have a few songs that got pretty big. So I don't know if we can clear them, you know? But we'll see. I'll sing it. Our house in the middle of the street.
Oh, that's
our
them?
Our house. Yeah.
No shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you did a great job. I knew exactly what song that was. Yeah. Okay. Well, crap. Because I was like, I loved your idea too. Maybe like we should record a live show.
Next round, we'll do it.
Yeah.
In fact,
it would be like a bootleg. Like
we'll do it the right way. We'll be able to bring. We'll get a press pass and bring in. Sit at the press table at the top and bring in the full mics and.
That'd be cool. I would love that.
Yeah, and we'll do it up, right?
Where the show we would record would be more like we're having a normal show, but because we wouldn't be doing a play-by-play.
No, the game would be on in the background, so if someone scores, we'll be like, yeah!
Yeah, you'd get our live reaction. That'd be hilarious. And then, you know, we could be like, James, come on over. Jackson, come on over.
Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Fan over there, what do you think? Okay, that'd be a hoot. I'd love that. And I'd feel professional.
Yeah, so we'll work on that for, hopefully we win against Phoenix. We'll get to more on that.
Phoenix Rising.
Go from there.
So yeah, let's talk about it. So, primarily, Defiance Kids was the starting lineup, other than Red Card rolled on, presumably starting because he hasn't been able to play. There was no other... Atencio started, and he's been pretty much a starter for us with the rotation there of like Obed getting more recent minutes than him. Did he get injured a couple weeks ago?
Atencio?
Yeah.
I think...
Was that why, or was it just rotation? They were just rotating, giving more opportunities to Obed.
Yeah, they play Obed next to JP, is the thing. So as long as Jao Powell's in there, it's going to be Obed so far this season.
Okay, yeah, and Rothrock, you were about to say.
I don't know how much he's going down, right? He's starting. I mean, he's on the bench most of the time in Seattle, so...
It's true. But... It's not your like we wouldn't expect a normal
MLS starting squad out there for obvious reasons. And we saw Georgie get some minutes against
our last home match.
Galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah, Galaxy.
And he immediately against the Galaxy was like, okay, look at this guy.
I mean, it was interesting. I thought I was a little annoyed that they were late. The subs were so late in that game because I thought we could have used him earlier. But then I remembered specifically with him, he could not average more than 15 minutes a game with the parent club if he was going to be loaned up from the Defiance for the U.S. Open Cup. So that's why they put him in with about 10 minutes left in the game.
So if he... Which would have been his only appearance.
Yeah, so it would have been above the average.
At 16 plus minutes, he would have been above the average and ineligible for this match.
Because you have to average less than 15 minutes a game.
Well, that's smart because hindsight 2020, he assisted the first goal. And he plays like he's 21. He's a man amongst boys, like the way he plays. His separation is insane. He's big. I don't know how tall he is, but he looks big.
Yeah.
He's got to be at least 6 feet. And the Louisville side, they were much grown men too. They weren't kids. That's their starting squad.
Oh, they're the best team in the USL right now, I think. They only have one loss on the season. We just handed them second.
I have them. I had that up, actually. They have
two former Sounders.
Second on in the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
With 18 points to Charleston Battery's 24.
Oh, okay.
And so Sacramento Republic has 19. So they're like the third best team. They, however, count it this way, 23 goals for, 7 against. That's just under Charleston Battery with 25 and 7.
And most of those goals are from Ray Serrano, former Seattle or Tacoma Defiance player.
Yeah. So, well, good for him to actually getting some play and some scoring. But yeah, no, they're a good squad, and he's fun to watch. I got Georgie on my mind.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think especially down the stretch, there were some moments where you can tell he was a little bit outplayed by some of the USL players. I mean, the Louisville players, but they're USL championships, so they're technically a league above Tacoma Defiance.
Yes.
So, I mean, it makes sense that they potentially could have been outplayed. And he held his own. I think he tucked in from the wing a little more than I would have liked at times. When they were coming towards me in that first half, he was right in front of me. That's where I was standing. So that's who I was watching the whole game. He tucked in a little more than I would like at times. But when he stayed out, he had a few times where he was able to outrun the defender.
And then around him
and kick it in for a nice little... not assist, I guess, but attempted assist. And on his assist, it's funny because he had so many perfect crosses. And then on his assist, it was a little short. And Rothrock had to come back in to get it. And it looked like the defender was going to get it. So that may have been his worst assist or worst cross of the night. Yet it was the one that actually got the goal in. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, soccer is crazy that way. But yeah, I thought technically he looked a little bit raw and he had some good, like, step over moments, but in terms of just physical ability, he looked incredible and exciting. And yeah, he could get past and go around players anytime he wants. So if he starts focusing on that a little bit more and then working on his inverted game a little bit, he's going to get a lot of minutes. And he just earned himself some MLS minutes. Well, we want him for Open Cup with that little average rule you just told me. I think we kind of want him for at least the next round. But yeah, I was impressed by him. Who were you impressed by? We'll get to Andrew Thomas later.
Okay. Well, that would have been my answer.
Okay. How about a field player? Because I think we get the second half of the show to Andrew Thomas.
You know, I think Atencio was pretty solid. He started out, he looked a little outmanned, but I wonder if he just was like, oh, I'm used to playing against MLS guys and didn't realize how good Louisville was. But once he was in the match, I mean, he was pretty solid there in the center. And then I think Bell did a pretty good job at center back.
I like Bell.
He was solid. You know, he's not going up against MLS forwards, but, you know, he's going to probably be starting in Portland this weekend. So him and Alex will be starting. So it was good to see him get some more minutes and then just try to get more up to speed because he's only played, you know, the last two games in the season.
Yeah, I think Danny Leyva too. I mean, we can see a lot of Danny. But against a squad, and they're a good quality club, like we just mentioned. But we see Danny amongst MLS clubs a lot because that's where he's been getting all of his minutes, right? So to see him against a step down, he looked like one of the best midfielders on the field. With his control, he got out of something. It was in the defensive third, and there was about three Louisville players around him, and he did some sort of pirouette. It's kind of hard. I had it on my big, beautiful TV. It was clearer on my phone, but I was having to do AirPlay because I could not use the YouTube app to get to this stream. I had to go to the MLS website, and I don't have like a browser on my TV. Yeah. I just have apps. So I had to go on my phone through Chrome, which I prefer as a browser, or Safari, to MLS, to then, which was a huge YouTube platform. It was YouTube to stream the thing, and then I AirPlayed it. So I think with that, like, three levels of bullshit, some resolution got lost. So it,
in the
frames
future,
per second kind of sucked.
In the future, go to it on your YouTube app on your phone, and then go to your YouTube app, make sure YouTube app's logged in on your TV, and then go to your history, and it'll be right there.
That's
because you're right,
move.
You couldn't search it. I couldn't search it through YouTube on my phone. I had to go to ussoccer.com, actually sign up for emails that I always already get, and then it let me click through to YouTube.
Okay, I had to put an email in too, but now that you mentioned that, like the history, should have done that.
I think anyway. That's the way to do it. And I brought it up a few times because some of those tackles, you know, I was behind the goal, really far away, but also I was watching that New Mexico United knock off RSL. Gotta love. Shout out to New Mexico United and all my friends in the Black Diamonds, one of their supporter groups. That was super fun to see. And unfortunately, LA Galaxy did beat Las Vegas Lights, even though the Lights came back twice to tie the game.
That looked like, I didn't see any highlights, but they were kind of updating the score live because the game was happening at the same time. And it sounded like it was exciting because LA scored. And then, like, as they were reporting LA scored, the Las Vegas Light scored.
So and
like,
Steve Cherundolo, who used to be the Vegas coach and is now the coach of LAFC, got sent off with a red card.
Yeah. Do you know what happened?
I don't. I haven't seen the highlights. I didn't see him pop up, so I didn't watch
it. If someone knows, tell us in the Discord.
Yeah. I did watch the highlights of the San Jose-Oakland game, and San Jose won 1-0. But that was, poor Oakland. I love those guys, so it was a bummer. But still pretty cool to see some USL teams really, really strong in this round against MLS teams. And of course, Detroit FC knocked off, I think, Houston. But I'm not a big fan of their fans, so I'm just like, meh. That was the one that I didn't care about.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, back to the game. It was an exciting match, and we went into halftime. It was started really fast and stayed pretty... Had a pretty good tempo throughout the entire match, actually.
Yeah, the second half, it got a little chippy.
Yes.
The ref almost lost control of the game and then finally took it over, but they were just hacking us down over and over and over again and not getting yellow cards.
Yeah, but you know who had something to say about the physicality of this match?
Who's that?
And probably one of the last players I'd expect. Cody Baker.
Oh.
The linebacker. Did you see that?
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you watch the high? Did you see him John at him as he was laying on the floor, too? The ref missed that.
I mean,
been a yellow.
The interesting thing about Cody Baker is he looks small, but there was a play right in front of me where he threw his body into somebody, and it was like he's a little fire plug. He's like he's muscle.
He's dense. Yeah. Yeah. Physics is weird that way. Yeah. you can be small, but you can have some density. And yeah, granted, the guy was going for the ball, and so was Cody. But Cody had the better positioning to leverage, knocking him to the ground, and he was writhing. I loved it. I loved seeing that, and it was clean, and it wasn't dirty. I didn't have to say both those things, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I love seeing that, especially when it was getting kind of chippy out there. Yeah. But yeah, we scored from Georgie's assist, as you mentioned. And that was... Oh, we just talked about this. That was
34th minute Rothrock. Or something like that? Oh, yeah, Rothrock.
It was like a 42nd minute. It was Paul Rothrock. And then we scored again in the 63rd. Mm-hmm. And that was from a beautiful Danny Leyva in swinger, right?
Yeah, free,
from like
yeah,
the right side.
A free kick from, yeah, probably center right of the goal. And then yeah. came in over the top of Danny Mazowski's head, who just... I don't think it looked like he like headed it with like the side of his head and just kind of went like, brown, hit it right in.
Did what he needed to do and it went in. And at that point, I was like, great, we got this in the bag. Do we do what we're supposed to do? Wasn't
I was wanting dominating. A third. I was worried because, we weren't being as dominant. And so I was a little worried.
Yeah. And you were right to be worried because they scored 4 minutes later and then they scored in the 89th minute, of course,
right in front of me. Right in front.
Was that right? Was that in the front of the beer garden?
Yeah, shit. It was right there, and there was a few of those moments where the ball like hangs in the air, and you're like, oh, and everything freezes, and we cleared it out all the other times, but this time their dude just like sideways ninja kicked it into the goal.
Well, you give him that many chances, it's gonna happen. So it was inevitable. It felt like the way this went down because I think this is probably the most dramatic match. And maybe entertaining match. I mean, Montreal was fun, but as a whole, you look at the season, that just seems like a fluke. I'm not going to remember that Montreal match in a couple of years. I'm going to remember this match in 10, 15, 20 years. Indefinitely.
The way this ended, this is... Jackson Feltz and I were talking. I didn't get to see him because he did a post-game show after the game, and it had been so long that I just went and got in my car and started driving home. But we talked on the phone after the game, and... I think we agreed then and then the next day when we were discussing it on Twitter that this may be the top, for me, I think the top Starfire moment in a good moments in Sounders U.S. Open Cup history. Obviously, the biggest moment in Sounders U.S. Open Cup history at Starfire is the red card wedding. But that's not like a hooray moment. I mean, I think it's probably this then the Hanneman one, but that was off the field afterwards.
That's true.
Although Jackson,
I was gonna say that, but yeah. That's true. That was
off the field. But Jackson did mention that Hanneman made sure everyone knew that he had 5 saves in that shootout. Which I think, I don't remember that. That's crazy, because I think Thomas only had 4. But he shouldn't have needed.
He had 3, and then Tosh, even though he was perfect it bounced in his off career. Hit the crossbar.
Yeah. So 4 were missed, but 3 were saved. Yeah. But we'll get there. So game ends 2-2, right? We go into the first half of overtime, and I don't know how the Sounders made it through that 15 minutes. They looked horrible. It was like one of the worst performances I think I've seen from our midfield all season. Like, I thought for sure we were giving up a goal.
Yeah, I had heart and throat. I was holding my baby, Margot, for this entire match. And that was that second, that extra time. Like, there were moments that I forgot, like, I was holding her because I was just like, like, what is going on? And I was, you know, because I felt kind of relaxed up until that 89th minute. I mean, we were kind of not parking the bus per se, but it felt like we were going to win that until that 89th. And in there, I felt, we're going to lose.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't do anything in the midfield at all. Like, every time I got to our midfield, they would just steal it right back. And we couldn't get it on the other half of the field.
They still had energy. And we were gassed.
I think that goal, what happened was that 89th minute goal spurred them on. Like, we can do this. Yeah. And for us, it just completely deflated the balloon.
For sure. And we're supposed to win that.
It was that fart noise. You know what I mean? Went off.
Yeah, we were supposed to win that match, right, on paper. We're the MLS club, and regardless of who you put on the field, the expectation is you put in a lineup to win that match. And especially as a Sounder fan and as a club, we expect to win every single match we play. That's just...
To me, this is the way we've been performing. This is our way into the U.S. or into the CONCACAF Champions League, and we should be trying to win this tournament.
I was going to say that later, so I'm glad he said it. Is that this? I mean, regardless of who we put out there, the expectation is to win this tournament because the way we've been playing in the season, even though I believe that, you know, we're not a middling team, like club, just overall. Like we have set ourselves up with the cabinet that we have to win, potentially make it to MLS Cup every single year. There should be no other goal, right? So we're not playing for draws on the road. We're like, it's great if that happens, but we should aim to win every single match. And even if you're putting out a quote-unquote lesser lineup because you're in the U.S. Open Cup early rounds, we're expecting to win this game. They are going in there facing Goliath, and they're, you know, from their perspective. They're playing MLS. They call it cup sets for a reason. So, when they got that 89th minute, that totally gave them energy and totally deflated us. If it was maybe a 79th minute goal, might have been a little bit of a different story, if depending on how we finished that final 10 minutes. But it was 89th minute. And although, granted, there was a 9-minute stoppage time when there was barely anything for the first half.
Yeah, there's 30 seconds in the first half. They literally put up zero and then added 30 seconds. 9 minutes didn't surprise me, though, because there was players down several times. But they would let... Look, I don't mean to be blasé about injuries, but a referee, unless it's a very serious injury, like a broken leg or something like that, a referee should not be stopping the game unless it's a head injury. And they stopped the game two or three times for Louisville on plays where it wasn't a foul, the person got hurt, and they were just laying on the ground, and it wasn't a head injury.
Yeah, so it was annoying. I agree with you.
There was players down a lot, and they were hacking us down. We hacked them down, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I just realized when I said, we would have had 10 minutes to kind of recover from a goal, and we didn't have it. It was like, actually, we did have it because it was stoppage time.
True, but it was 10 nervy minutes.
Yeah, and it was nervy for 20 minutes after that. But then we get to penalties. In person, because that was in front of the beer. Were you still in the beer garden at this point?
Yeah.
Okay. First, who went first? They went first, right?
Yes.
And Andrew also, let's just talk about him. He had a great game. They actually should have won that game.
They had a couple time. Other chances where he dove on the ball and saved it last second.
Was that last save, like the last touch of the whole of the first 90 minutes? Was that in front of you too? I think it was, because it was to the left of the screen. So the beer garden was to the left of the screen
in overtime or the first half?
No, it was like 90 plus 9. It was
it must have been. He was on our side.
I couldn't tell if it was like, I think it was like how the ball got into like a chip fashion, arcing over, and he jumped up from the ground to like catch it.
He had some great saves.
That was incredible.
There were several loose balls where he
had a kick save.
He had to dive through. He had to dive through, I don't know, it was Cody Baker or some one of our little guys. to get it.
Little dense dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he had a great game. But then I think that, obviously, that clinched us the opportunity to get it. They should have scored, from what it looked like in that time, they should have scored that in that moment. And I think they saved our ass. Scored
a couple more times, and he was on top of it. Like, yeah.
Totally, totally. And it's just the... how dramatic that last moment was before going into extra time, and the fact that it was could have been that fleeting, and he stood up for us literally, and then also his distribution. He's got a cannon because he is probably the buffest dude on the team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, he's rippling through that kit, and I think the flowing locks help, the bro stash. But he's got a cannon, and I think that really, especially how difficult it is. Now, this isn't our MLS squad that we've been seeing, but how difficult it is for us to kind of get past that second level and actually do something dangerous in the attacking third. That ball lands in the attacking third. And he was throwing it to just be like, Georgie, dude, just try to get it. Just try to get it. And he would just launch it, launch it, launch it. And I actually loved seeing that. It didn't result in much, but...
That's something we don't usually see from Fry. Because Fry rolls it out because his distribution on kicks is not as good as... I mean, it's better this year and last year. But overall, that's always been something he's struggled with. He's gotten better, but it's completely different for Andrew Thomas. And let's not forget, either the day before or 2 days before, he signed a 3-year contract extension.
Was it 3 or 2?
Could have been 2. I thought it was 3, but that may have been wishful thinking.
He signed a contract. Good for him. Yeah. That's kind of telling. Yeah. Right? Do you know how long Fry's is right now? Cameron says, I'm researching.
Yeah, well, I was trying to say I think it's 1 more year, but I didn't. Yeah, I was trying to type, and my keyboard is very loud, so I was muting it, but...
That's fine. It sounds like we're at the airport.
Yeah. Just checking in. Andrew Thomas... that's Giants. The Giants and Andrew Thomas agreed on a 5-year, $117.5 million extension. I don't think that's our Andrew Thomas. He's not a left tackle.
We're firing Weibel.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's why he's suddenly going by Andy. I don't know if you've noticed that. Even 3 days ago, the Sounders have him as Andrew Thomas on everything. But he, all of a sudden, like on the big screen, it said Andy Thomas. And so I thought, I was like, oh, that's interesting. He signed a 3-year contract through the 2027 season with club options for 2028 and 2029. So that means in theory,
that's a starter's contract.
Oh yeah. 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 And I'm sure it's probably not money wise. Cause we don't know those details yet. I'm guessing money wise, it is a backup keeper contract with incentives. If he plays as a starter, that would pull him up to starter money.
Well, based on that Open Cup match, well-deserved.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I saw reactionary saves that I think just kind of erased any, like, is he ready? We got to see a lot of him earlier this year, and he played well. It's just the team also was struggling. So it's like, was it the defense? Was it the midfield giving up some balls that put him in a bad spot, that kind of thing? So it's not like he was getting shutout after shutout. And Stephen Fry, let's not forget, is still, I think, playing at top level. Also been victim to bad giveaways in the midfield and some shoddy
decision making it
by our defense.
He's lost a step from where he was, but for sure. That's considering he was the best goalie in MLS for a number of years.
Yeah.
It's not saying much.
He's top 10 now, not top 5.
But I know we want to keep it concise since this is just a US Open Cup episode. So let's just skip over most of the penalty kicks, because I don't really want to talk about all the times he made an amazing save and then we missed it, whether that was Danny Masovsky, Leo Chu again, or poor D. Rowe Jr., sadly. Great save from Andy Thomas. And then he walks up.
Did he kick it and it went in the air? Is that what happened? And then he caught it laying on his back?
So, yeah, he kick-saved it. It went straight up in the air and then came back down and landed on him. So
And then he kept the ball, and I'll let you finish.
He walks out to the... Kitara comes out.
Kitara
comes out, and Andy waves him back, says, no, this is mine.
And the ref is like, hey, get over there. He's like, I'm taking this.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Because after that, the goalie for Louisville was like complaining to the ref about it. But I don't get it. Like, there's no reason to complain there because he's choosing to take it. Now, there was some discussion on whether that was planned for him to take it. He planned to take one if it went to extra penalties. But he didn't plan to take that one.
Yeah.
But there was talk of him, because he's really good at penalties, taking it. Now, this was his first ever penalty kick in an actual game. And he sunk it. And it legendary. Like, that, to me, this is the most badass moment. Like, it's great that Hanneman chugged a beer, but this isn't like, oh, hey, I chugged a beer, let's trade. This is, I made the save, and I'm not going to let anyone else do this because y'all keep screwing up. I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
I'm just going to step up and kick this damn goal into the ball. Wait, ball into the goal. See, I got so excited I forgot.
He kicked it so hard that he kicked the goal into the ball.
Yeah. That's basically what happened. That is how good of a kick it was. And yeah, so this is this is something I think will be one of 100 years from now, or let's say 50 years from now when we're 100 years old as a team. This is one of those moments that will still be talked about. Because it's going to be that legendary of a moment, especially if he becomes our starting keeper one day.
And especially if this win leads us to the round of, well, if it did, and yep. we win the round of 16, and then the round of, then the quarterfinals, and the semifinals, and then we win it, and we're in the Champions League. And we do so. Like, this, we need that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's probably not going to happen in MLS unless there's just a miraculous turnaround from
and
what
we are,
seems to be systemic.
Yeah, and I like Champions League and all, but we don't need it to get in the next Club World Cup. Obviously, we know we're already in that. And if we won it, that would just be another entry. So I don't know who it would go to, the runner-up, I suppose. But I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, we don't need it, but I love Champions League, even though the refs drive me insane. So.
Champions Cup League.
Yeah, whatever it's called now, Champions Cup. But we will be playing Phoenix. Phoenix Rising beat North Carolina FC 2-1 with a 111th minute goal. They went up 1-0 in the 9th minute, followed by a red card in the 24th minute that North Carolina could not capitalize on because they got a red card in the 40th minute, then finally tied it in the 80th minute. And then, unfortunately for North Carolina, got another red card in the 94th minute, and Phoenix Rising in the 111th minute scores.
Was Phoenix playing the Sounders?
Yeah, right.
Here's some perspective. Can I give us on Phoenix compared to Louisville? Who just because I don't know really any.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say real quick. They were second yellows on those red cards.
Oh,
One was a straight red. The last one was a straight red. The other ones were second yellows. But yes, okay. Please do.
So, Louisville, who we just played, we just said they're second in the East, they're third, and if they do a shield. But 25 goals for, 7 against. So, it gives you an idea. They can score, and they can prevent.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix Rising, they're sixth in the West with 11 points. Louisville has 18.
Okay. What's
Phoenix has scored 10 goals and given up 11.
Wow. Okay.
So they are, on paper, a lesser club than what we just played, even though they've advanced in the tournament. So who did Phoenix play? And do you happen to know?
Yeah, that was North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So they didn't play an MLS club.
No, they played North Carolina FC, who are, I believe, are they USL Championship? Yeah, I believe they're USL 1, actually. They're USL 1.
Okay. So not only did they not play MLS, they played the tier below them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they have not been producing the way Louisville has in their same league. So that, as you... You'd assume that gives us a little more confidence, considering we eked out this victory in PKs on Andy Thomas' shoulders.
Right.
So, when do we play them? We play them on the 22nd, so that would be not this week, but the following week, midweek?
Yeah, two weeks from this last match, 7:30 okay. p.m. start at
Starfire.
Starfire. Pre-sale is up now, but they went on sale this morning at 10 a.m. You can get them though from Gorilla FC, pretty much at cost. I think there's an extra $1 for PayPal fee because we have to pay those. If you want to sit in the Gorilla FC section, I think we've sold 35 of our 54 tickets. So,
nice.
We have about 19 left, but you can definitely.
And why is it important to give Gorilla FC money?
Oh, Grill FC is, of course, one of our two supporter groups, and we are we love what ECS does, obviously, but we are about supporting off the field in terms of using soccer to build community and to do work in the community. So lots of cool stuff around that, and we'd love to have you come sit with us. I like I said, I don't think I'll be there, but by the time this is up, this episode, you can go to grillfc.com and go to the shop in the merchandise area, and there will be tickets available.
Go sell them out.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I'm hoping for a victory. This episode will be up until that match. Do you expect kind of a similar lineup as we saw here? When do you foresee a little bit more infusion of MLS? Typically, we see that what, semifinal, quarterfinal, maybe quarterfinal. So we probably have two more matches of, you know, well, Kitiara was sub, but
yeah, I mean it's a crazy week, right?
My head because of the penalties, but Andrew Thomas obviously starting.
The congestion,
Georgie,
of it's going to require that, right? Like, we of course play Portland this Sunday, then we go to Salt Lake on Wednesday, host
then
Vancouver.
Then there's a week off. We don't host Vancouver, do we? Yeah, or is that my grid schedule issuing?
That's probably yeah. We host Vancouver on the 18th, and then we play.
For fuck's sake, you're right.
Wednesday that match against Phoenix, and then we have to travel to St. Louis on the 25th. And then we host Real Salt Lake on Wednesday the 29th. So in the next 19 days, we have 6 games. So yes, I would, especially since Phoenix, another minor league team, I would expect us to play some more youth players. But I wonder, where's Pedro de la Vega right now in his recovery? Could that be a game that they could put him in to get some minutes in order to get him warmed up to play for the U.S., the MLS team?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he has been spotted training.
Yeah, he's training Nico, off the side.
Nico Moreno is a fantastic follow on X, on Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And I saw he had video of him. Mm-hmm. Looking great, scoring a goal in a little, I think, five-a-side type situation. I don't know what they were doing, but it was definitely a mini pitch. But looking good, but he can look good. It's just his hamstring. That just
don't rush him back. Moment. That's the big thing.
Don't rush him back. Yeah, it just sucks that he's definitely not starting against Portland and probably not even on the bench to get a few minutes.
No, I think we're still a little bit away, but we'll get there.
It'd just be great. This is, and we won't get into Portland. It's just, we're going to do an episode next week. We're going to try to fit one in. But I thought it would work out perfectly for us to record after the Salt Lake game because I didn't scroll left on the goddamn grid. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, great. We'll have time between MLS matches. So we can have like a little US Open Cup / MLS, two different like series on our podcast. But we'll figure it in.
I don't believe I'm going to be at that Vancouver game because it is Nate McMillan night at the Seattle Superhawks. Former Seattle Supersonics legend will be in the house that evening. So unfortunately, I won't. That's going to be maybe the only Sounders game I miss this season, unless right now I'm in talks to go to Frankfurt, Germany for some human rights training around soccer. So if that happens, that's cool. Then... I might have to miss a couple more things at the end of June, but including my birthday plans, which is to watch the Seattle Storm play Caitlin Clark with you.
Yeah, we're going to that, Nick.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. We'll be at Climate Pledge, all three of us, twice in a month.
That's right. Basically. 18 days from now, you, me, and... regular contributor to the show, Nicholas Biela, the guy that likes to give up hat tricks to you, will be at Pearl Jam. Speaking of which, if you're into Pearl Jam and you're looking for a pair of tickets at face value, hit us up.
Yeah. Face value is $200, by the way, still, after taxes. But it's worth it. You'll likely be drinking with us before because they're non-transferable, so we got to walk in together.
Yep, we'll all go hang out.
Matt, that just turned into a fun little scuttlebutt little promo. You can come hang out with us. Hey, meet these voices in person. See how beautiful we look.
For the small price of $400.
Right? Yeah.
That doesn't go to us, unfortunately. It goes to Pearl Jam.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it goes to us now, but to replace the tickets we've already purchased.
Hey, if it was going to go to a band, I'm fine for Pearl Jam taking money because they do a lot. They do a lot.
They're in Portland tonight, right?
Community.
I think they're at Moda Center tonight.
I don't know. You know, they usually take a break before if they do a Seattle show because they live here.
Yeah.
They're headquartered here, obviously. But anyway, exciting match. I enjoyed it overall in hindsight, obviously, the way it all turned out. You're right. This is a historical match. Just the way it went down. I actually love penalties. Like, I don't know why. I like that nerve-wrackingness. I know people hate them, but...
I generally do. I just hate how we tend to lose in them.
Yeah.
Not well, U.S. Open Cup, though. I think we've only lost maybe twice in penalties in U.S. Open Cup. No, we lost last year to San Jose 3 times. Mm-hmm. But generally...
Feels like we've lost recently in penalties. Yeah. More like recent histories lost in penalties.
And of course, we lost KC in... When was that? 2011 in penalties in the final?
You'd know. My memory can't go back that far right now. But
I remember because I was so mad that I broke a plate. Because they called back a save. They called back a save because they said... I don't think it was... Who was our goalie? Spurning was off the line? Is that who our goalie was at the time?
Spurning? Yeah. Well, I miss him. I like that goof. Anyway. Yeah, good for us. And, you know, we needed something. We needed something that stood out to this season and also was positive. And I love seeing our potential future goalkeeper he probably didn't sleep that night.
Well, I can't I could barely. I actually fell asleep at 5 a.m. because I was so wound up after that game because it was just so exciting.
Yeah, so go Sounders, go Sounders, go Sounders. That was awesome. Let's pull this into port.
And one thing to say real quick, those Gorilla FC tickets for the U.S. Open Cup are now live, so you can get them right now.
There you go. And they're not $200.
Nope, they are $25. No, just $25.
Okay. $25. And then if you want to watch Pearl Jam and drink with us, $200 a ticket.
Yep. Two of them. Do it. Come as a pair, though, because we don't want to have to sell them separately.
Yeah. These are not sold separately. Jump in our Discord. We've mentioned it. Link in the show description. It's a fun place to hang out, especially when the games are going on. Especially on the away games when I think a lot of our Discord members actually go to matches.
Yeah.
So home matches, it gets a little quiet because I'm usually trying to jump in if I'm live and I'm not there because way up here in Everett with a little baby. Mm-hmm. Gonna start probably coming in the summer with the weather turning, so that'll be fun. At least maybe with Gracie, just because obviously she's 4, she can go. But anyway, yeah, get in there. It's a fun place, and we enjoy having these conversations, not just with us but with you. And we don't normally do this, but give us some ratings, give us some 5 stars and some reviews if you got Apple.
And Spotify.
Have I ever read our reviews?
No, I don't. I haven't even looked. Do we have good ones?
Well, I did bring it up before. We were 5 stars.
Yeah, I know that.
Go us. But it wasn't. It's not like we have 1,000 reviews. We have 11 now. We were at 5 stars forever, and then now we're 4.6.
Oh,
one
no.
person gave
Someone
us
gave
a
us
one.
A one.
What?
Ooh, did they say why?
They didn't even give a review. That's... Come on.
You can dislike us and still give us 5 stars. Come on now. We're just a small fledgling podcast trying to make you happy.
Yeah, that's like kicking a bunny. Like, why would you do that? You're just being mean for the sake of being mean.
Yeah, it's okay. I get it.
Hey, but hey, you know what? We do have some new ones, though. A new review.
Good. Tell me.
May 3rd. By new, I mean like the last one before that was July 12th, 2023. Five stars, five stars, five stars. And of course, our OG listener, Rich was our very first one. I'd give 6 stars, but they talk about F1 and stupid Seahawks too much. Remember that? So I have read these before. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one.
That was about a year ago. Love you, Rich. But this one, Mason Gurr. I moved to Seattle a little over a year ago, and one of the first things I did was buy a season ticket and ECS. I've gone to every home game this season, and completely obsessed. That said, let me hit more. That said, I've listened to every single Sounders-related podcast I could find, and this is my favorite. Great insight, genuine conversation, and always engaging. I listened to these two talk about anything at all. Ah, even F1.
That's amazing.
Would not need to be just Sounders related for me. Cheers and thanks for the good listens. Aw. That's a lot of words, too. 10 out of 10 is what he put.
Shout out to you, man.
He only had 5 stars to give, but he wanted to give 10.
I hate to tell you this, but we have 3.9 stars on Spotify.
3.9? It's got to be out of 4, then.
From 11 views. Oh, maybe it is out of 4. I didn't think about that. I haven't looked. I mean, because it won't let me click through. I'm going to have to look on the real app.
It'd be weird if it was out of 4, but fuck. Right. Well, okay. You know what this means? Put in work, everyone.
Yeah. Get people out there.
We got haters.
These Portland Timbers fans that are so angry at us. Get out there and, you know, combat them by giving us a 5 stars.
I just realized I bet I know who the 1 star is.
Oh, interesting. I got my
Oamiah Jershan.
Oh, really?
Huh. I bet it's Oamiah Jershan.
That's funny. Well, good luck.
Talking about good luck. You know who I'm talking about. It doesn't say that. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. No,
it's a very recent rating that we got, a 1 star, and I remember, was it last episode or the one before?
2 ago, yeah.
Yeah, yep. you shared your feelings.
People loved it. I got lots of positive comments about it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And my rants, the last 2 shows, I've had people seek me out and say, thank you. This is everything I've wanted in a podcast. I'm very frustrated and no one will. And this is also because they probably haven't been listening to Jackson on the postgame show. No one is expressing my frustration. So I'm here for all of you long Seattle fans that feel frustrated by the way we get treated by our sports teams and only want to win. I'm here for you.
Well, yeah. So get in there. Give us some ratings. Give us some reviews. Love that. Again, thank you, Mason. And God, I told you at the beginning of this, I don't know if you said it in the beginning, that we were going to have a short one.
I tried to pull it in. We're batting
as well as the Mariners when it comes to...
You clearly didn't watch tonight's game.
Well, actually, no, I did watch through the 5th inning, and that's when they scored a lot of runs, so I'm guessing they won. I'm not going to have enough time to watch it now. It's
beyond your 5-run rule or whatever. I think we won 8-1 or something.
Oh, great. It's 5-0 when we started, so anyway. But they're still leading the league in strikeouts, I guess is my point. Which has nothing. What was I getting at? Oh, trying to keep this at 30 minutes. Yeah. I don't think we've ever kept it at 30 minutes, ever. And you know what? That's because we just love talking about the Sounders. So, yeah.
And we love
bring
all of you.
Into port.
That's the thing. We love all of you. It's going into port. I'm still talking, only to say, take it away, James.
Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and indisputably the best MLS team of all time.